Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Thank you for the Word He's going to bring today. Father, we submit our ears, our eyes, our wills, and our hearts to what You would have us see and hear today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. I was supposed to preach it a couple of weeks ago. And that Monday morning, I woke up. I was sick. And I'm never sick. And I've never missed a preaching assignment because I was sick for over 45 years. Yeah. And so, but, you know, it happens. And, thank God, Denise stepped in. Where are you, Denise? She's working, as usual. So Denise just sweetly stepped in, and I didn't lose my slot altogether. I get to preach on this Sunday, so I'm thankful for that. But it just one of those adages, you know. Usually, the best man for the job is a woman. And thank God for Denise, okay? And that worked out well, at least it did. Oh, and I didn't have COVID. I was so thankful to find out. I found out in the middle of the week, on Thursday of that week, I found out for sure that I didn't have COVID. And that was, and I found out what's the best, you know what's the best thing about not having COVID? Is you don't have to worry about who you might have gave it to. Yeah, but really. I was really tickled with that. Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad I called in sick, and Denise stepped in and filled the slot. I'm not sure why I'm fascinated with this story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Maybe part of it is because Paul says that one of the things that he really wants in his life is that he might know Christ and the power of His resurrection. So maybe that's what triggers me in that I would really like to experience the kind of power that it takes for the resurrection. That was one of Paul's aims. I'm sure he had other things for that. And then you look at the Gospels and you try to capture exactly what was Jesus doing here. You know, just what I want to get exactly what was he doing here. And it one can kind of get lost in his words, you know, trying to figure out exactly what he was doing here. So I picked out a couple of them where Luke tries to talk about what Jesus came for. And he says in Luke 19:10, which is really the golden text of Luke, he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, that's a pretty compact, straightforward statement to understand exactly why Jesus came. And, by the way, that is said in the 19th chapter, and that's around Zacchaeus. You know the story of Zacchaeus? Oh, it's a great story. How many of you know the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Huh? Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Okay. Jesus calls him out of the tree and goes to his house and just, it seems so spontaneous, he just says, "Half my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've taken anything wrong from somebody, I'm going to pay them back four times as much." And you know what Jesus said? "Salvation has come to this house today." Lisa, you know that backwards and forwards. And then it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." But I like John too, you know, and John says it You know, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but what? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That's King James. I've got it memorized in King James. It's engraved, you know, in my mind. And so that, you know. So we get the idea of what Jesus is doing here is giving life. And we'll come back to that. In John here, it seems like it comes to us in two stages. First of all, it comes in terms of life, and then it comes in terms of more abundantly. So I'm going to take that in two stages. It's one thing to have life, but it's quite another thing to have abundant life. And so ultimately, we're looking for the abundant life. So let's raise Lazarus from the dead. Okay, you all in on that? I'm in on that. I want to raise Lazarus from the dead. Amen? But to do that, you have to get there first. You have to get there. That's what I want us to see. I only have 2 points to this sermon. Number one, on the way to the tomb. And number two, at the tomb. Okay? And, you know, some jobs are fairly easy to do, but difficult to get to. You know what I mean? Have you ever had jobs like that? Yes. Yeah. They're fairly easy to do, but you got to get there. Well, that's the way Jesus is here. Okay. He wants to raise Lazarus from the dead. And by the way, I think he knows what he's going to do from the beginning. I think that. Okay. It just seems to me like he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Okay. I think that's why he fumbles in the beginning there and doesn't get around and get going right away. Then he decides he's going to go, and the disciples are worried about him. They tried to kill you last time you went over there to Judea. We don't want you to go because they tried to kill you. They tried to warn Jesus of that. Okay. They're worried about Jesus. They're concerned. Jesus doesn't know what he's doing. And Jesus tries to assure them, look, if I walk in the light, you don't stumble when you're in the light. And of course, Jesus, he's in the light. He knows what's going on. So he tries to quiet them and calm. Have you ever noticed people have opinions? Oh, yeah. It's like everybody's got an opinion. And that was their opinion. Yeah. Oh, and they think they're important. And they want to tell you about it. Oh, no, Jesus. We don't think you ought to be doing that. It's dangerous. They tried to kill you last time you went there. They'll try to kill you now. Okay. So they're worried about Jesus. And then they figure out Jesus is going to go anyway. So here comes Thomas. He said, well, let's go and die with him. That seemed like a brave individual, doesn't it? Trying to look good, pumped up. Yeah, he's got another opinion. That's what that opinion is. We'll go and die with him. That's what we want to do. Yeah. Boy, he's got everything all messed up here. And that's what you learn as you wade through these people, is nobody knows. Matter of fact, they don't even think that they know, really. They don't know. But they think their opinion is important, and they're sharing it with Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't call you to die for him. He calls you to live for him. And this is about what? Don't forget, this is about life. This is not about death. And sometimes, guys, you got to be honest. Death is the easy way out. And it's a coward's way out sometimes. And it takes, because death, you don't have to do anything to die. You just lay there, I'll guarantee you, you'll die. You will lay there long enough, you will die. But when it comes to life, it takes thought, it takes commitment, it takes work. Life is hard. Death is easy. They're just talking. He just talking here, his head around. Thomas, he's just talking to hear his head rattle. He don't know anything. Jesus has to wade through that, though. Jesus has to wade through this. We get beyond. Okay, so he gets beyond the disciples, and the next person he meets is Martha. Oh, boy. I bet he dreaded meeting Martha. I really do. And Martha, you know how she greets him? If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But we don't have any photographs of that in her. But I just wonder if she had her hands on her hips when she said that. Yeah, I really do. Or maybe she got... Guys, your wife ever point her finger at you? You know, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Well, that's good. Let's just blame Jesus because he's dead. That's what we'll do. We'll just blame him. And here's the real thing about it, though. You see, she has help in the past. She's talking about the God of the past. Oh, in times past, if you'd have got here, you could have helped. But now, it's beyond you. And there is no help. Oh, if you'd have been here, you could have done something. But now you can't. And you're dealing with the God of the past. How many Christians you know that they really have a big God of the past? Huh? Them was the good old days. Yes. That's when God would do miracles, that kind of thing. Amen? They got the God of the past. Yeah. Yeah. And some people, I've had people say, well, I was born 75 years late. Like, it would have been better if they were born. No, probably not. They'd have been the same old way they was then. It was because they got the God of the past. I don't know about you. I love reading these good old stories. Amen. Many of them have become friends of mine. Okay. But when push comes to shove, the God of the past, I need the God of the present. That's what I need. So, Jesus tries to talk to her. And he tries to tell her there's such a thing as a resurrection. Now, she'd have been all right if she'd have just left it go. Okay, Jesus, I believe. But she couldn't leave that go. She had to say, yes, I believe that he'll rise again in the last days. She had to put that on as a caveat on the end of that. Now, where did God just escape from the past and where did he go? He went to the future. But she said, oh, yeah, I can believe in the resurrection for the last days. So she's got the God of the past who cannot help her. She's got the God of the future who cannot help her. Then Jesus pulls out the big gun, and he shoots the big gun. And the big gun is, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, she's stuck in the past. She jumps to the future. And what does Jesus try to do? Bring her right back to the present. And here, standing before her, is the resurrection and the life. And she's complaining because he didn't get here earlier. And worried about, you know, the future. But Jesus says, I am. Have you ever noticed that Jesus always affirms himself? I love that about him. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to follow Jesus, okay? I'm trying to be like him. Amen? Y'all doing that? Go like this, yes. Okay. But he always affirms himself. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He always affirms himself. Try that for a while. Just affirm yourself. You know, try. Boy, here he is. He's the resurrection and the life. Amen. Standing right before her. And she can't see it. No. God of the past, God of the future. Those gods are all right, but I don't know about you right here now. And that's the God I usually need in my life, the God of the present. So here comes Mary now. This is another person. Now Jesus just tried to wade through this Martha deal, okay? Where's he going? Where's Jesus going? Going to the tomb, he's going to raise Lazarus. Okay. But before he does that, he's got to wade through all these people. Now he's got to deal with Mary. Mary shows up. What does Mary say? Lord, if you had been here. Wait a minute. We just had that. These are two ladies. They're completely different personalities if you follow them at all. Martha, she's the nuts and bolts of the deal, okay? Jesus goes to visit their home in one situation. Martha was out in the kitchen. She was getting stuff ready and rattling those pots and pans. And Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She comes in there and complains to Jesus because Mary's not helping out. Why don't you make her help me? There's just two different, completely different personalities. But yet they have the very same statement when they get to Jesus. And what is that? If you would have been here, you'd have been able to help. But mean what? Now, well, there's no help now. And what is it? The resurrection and the life is right there before him. Can't see it. Couldn't dream it. Couldn't think of it in any such way. But God was about to do something wonderful and spectacular in their lives. Amen? So now, he gets through that, and now he has to wait. I call these the mourners. These are people who come when somebody dies. They come and will help you mourn, help you to grieve. You know, they'll cry with you, cry out loud, and whatever. That's what they do. Okay, and it's a cultural thing. But sometimes, you know, culture needs a little help. You have to pay them to show up, you know. Oh, no, they do. Yeah, you got paid mourners, and they'll come cry for you. And they'll make all kinds of noises, and then all the neighbors will think you love the person, and you're good, okay? Oh, by the way, have you ever noticed how much better people get when they die? Have you noticed that? I was chaplain at a racetrack, okay? And I had to tell the church every once in a while, the church wants to confess their sins, that no, I'm not going to live. No, because I go and deal with people who have real sins. We have murder and mayhem. Oh, where was I going with that? I'm not sure where I was going with that. Okay. All right. So here are these people. They're mourners. And they're there to mourn. Okay. And Jesus, and they're just crying. You know, they'll cry. They're crying, and Jesus is there. And all of a sudden, Jesus is moved to tears. And you have the shortest verse in the Bible there. Jesus wept. Okay? Shortest verse in the Bible. Now, you got to raise the questions, why is Jesus weeping? And I want to be gentle when I do this because I can't know everything. You know, I just try to go on what I know, okay? So, but I don't think he's weeping because of Lazarus, okay? Because I think he knows he's going to raise Lazarus in a few moments here, okay? So I really don't think he's really grieving at that point. But you still have to ask, what is it that would move Jesus to tears? And that's it's not like a loud cry. The word just means the tears came. That's what the word means, the tears came. Well, what would bring tears in the eyes of Jesus? I'm looking at the text, and obviously we've worked pretty hard on it already this morning. You know what I think it is? Because of their unbelief and misunderstanding. Will you see it with me? That's what moves Jesus to tears. Because here's these people, if you don't mind this expression, here's these people who are just stewing in their own juices. No help, no way. And that's what moves Jesus to tears. Just hates it that they don't catch on at all. Have no hope, no nothing in there for them. They're just in this mess, and they're in this mess. So Jesus moves quickly then to the tomb, and he tells them to take away the stone. Oh, by the way, there are three commandments that he has when he gets to the tomb. They're just three commandments. And the first one is, his commandment is, remove the stone. And by the way, I think that's what we've been doing all along. Been trying to wade through all these people and get to the tomb where he can raise Lazarus. So and get the stone out of the way just means clear the way for the resurrection to take place, or to become possible. Just kind of clear the area. And that's what he's doing. He's trying to clear the area, and he gets there. And once the stone is taken away, the stage is set now. Can you get that? Can you kind of visualize that? He gets to the tomb, says, one of the first commandment is move the stone. So the stone is moved. Now the stage is set for it to take place. Now is the place where things can happen. And guess what is the first thing Jesus does when the stage is set? He turns toward God and says, I thank you that you hear me. Wow. How important is gratitude in your life? How important it is. Now Jesus said, once the stage is set, now he's been headed that way all along. Once the stage is set, what does he do? He begins to give thanks and to express gratitude. You know, there's nothing like that'll change your attitude better than having a sense of gratitude. You got a bad attitude. If you'll just make yourself, just read it, write it out, read it to yourself. Lord, I thank you. And fill in the blank. At that point, it really doesn't matter. But to begin to give thanks. Now, Jesus, with all this weeping, with all this misunderstanding, what does he do? Lord, I thank you that you hear me. And then he called out, Lazarus, come forth. Boy, don't you know there was a moment in there with him. You think maybe? I love those Old Testament stories. And one of them is God takes Ezekiel, he takes him to a valley of dry bones. They call them dry bones. You know that song too? Dry bones and dry bones. I'm not sure I can sing it this morning, but yeah. And this is a valley full, there had been a battle there. And the bodies are gone. They've been long gone. And the sun has bleached their bones white. And so they look at these dry bones. And then God says something to Ezekiel that is just thrilling. He says, can these bones live again? I mean, just to raise the question in the face of that. Can these bones live again? And so Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, with a loud voice. And you all know why he said, Lazarus, come forth, don't you? Who's got it? Who's got the air? Come on. You just can't be doing that, can you? But he had to say, Lazarus, come forth. Okay? And so what happens then? Lazarus comes forth. And now you've got life. Now you've got life. And the one thing I love about this is you have these calls all over the Bible, but God knows your name. We already talked about it. Zacchaeus was up a tree, and Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house." But he knows his name. And you got all these calls in the Old Testament, whether it be Samuel, who's getting a call, or whether it be Isaiah, that classic Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 6. But you have these people who are called. Then you have like the real bait, bottom rock of it is like the call of Abraham, who's called out to make a whole nation and a whole future filled with God. You have these calls all throughout. Moses, what the drama of the burning bush where Moses is called, but God is in the process of calling people to life. Amen? And I hope that you can hear him calling you to life. And that's his wish for you, is for you to have life. And that's why he called it. That's why he came to seek and to save. Or he came that they might have life and have it to the full. Now here, we're calling forth life, and he calls it. Here comes Lazarus. And then he does the last command at the tomb is, loose him and let him go. Wow. Amen. How many of you like to be loosed and let go? We'll just turn you loose on the world today. Okay, how's that? We'll just turn you loose on the world. Huh? Amen? You see? Okay, once you come out, you have things that aren't appropriate for this new life you're going to lead. You can't take everything with you. There are some things you're going to have to leave behind. Now, I tried to talk about this with you for a second, okay? I've thought about it. So I'll just tell you my experience when I first committed my life to Jesus Christ, okay? I'm like 25 years old, and I'm working on a railroad, got a family, and I feel that I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. How many of you have done it? You have that feeling and you follow through on it, okay? My experience, when I didn't know this, okay? When I committed my life to Jesus Christ, then there was some things that I couldn't take with me. And one of them was smoking. I just thought, I can't tell you why. I don't think I ever heard a sermon against smoking. But I just had a feeling that this had to go. And it became a symbol of my commitment to Jesus Christ. And I remember when I quit, I was spotting coal cars up on River King 1 mine. And we'd push them up there and cut them loose and leave them go up there. And I was on the end of them cars going up the end of that mine. And I said, I'm gonna quit smoking. I know I need to, and I'm gonna quit smoking. I had a carton at home, and I thought, well, as soon as I'm done with that carton, I'm going to quit. You all see this coming, don't you? Yeah. And then I said, well, I'll give that carton away, and when I'm done with this pack, I'll quit smoking. And then I think I seen the folly in that, and I was smoking a cigarette, and I threw the pack away and flipped the cigarette away, and I haven't had a cigarette since. And that's when I was probably about 25 years old. But it was something I had to do. But I realized that there was only one way to quit smoking, and that is to quit smoking. Pretty simple. And so I'm starting to learn a lesson. I can't take everything with me. And that the discipline is worth more than any nicotine reward would be. Although my body loves nicotine, and it remembers nicotine too. You know, they say you redo your cells every 7 years. I don't believe them. My cells remember. They remember. So, hey, I quit that, okay? But I couldn't take that with me. I just knew that I couldn't. I'm not saying this for everybody. I'm not trying to tell you that, okay? That's not for everybody, but it was for me. The other thing that I had to quit, and that's spend as much time in the tavern. I'd gotten into a habit of being with my fellow workers and stuff, and we'd stop by the tavern. And I was spending too much time. I had a family at home. I should be with my family and take good care of my family. And I was spending too much time in the tavern. And that's when I started to learn masculine strength. Because it took a lot of strength to hold the steering wheel straight when I went by the tavern. But I got to where I could do it. I built my muscles up. But you can't take everything with you. And that is one of the beauties of the church, is the church will help you get rid of the things. Lazarus wasn't supposed to take that off. No, he was telling the crowd, loose him and let him go. And that's the value of the church. Don't ever think that this isn't such a valuable place. And you need to be here and work on yourself. And other people will help you to do that. And they'll do it sweetly too. They're not abrupt. They'll be nice to you. But they'll tell you, no, you really shouldn't do that. No, I probably wouldn't take that with me. They'll say it in a certain way. And you'll learn. You'll learn to take those cues. And this is where you need to be, because they'll loose you and let you go. And then you'll be involved in the abundant life. You've got life when you come out of the tomb, but we want it more abundantly. We want it to the full. And this is exactly where Jesus will take you. He will take you to the full. Now I've come to the end of the sermon. And I've thought of how to end this, okay? Let's stand together, if you would. Just stand together. Any musicians or whatever, if you've got something, come on up. I know that I couldn't trust myself, especially when I was younger. I'm better at it now than it was then. And if Lord has touched you in some way that you know that you either need to come alive today or you need to have that abundant life, I want to give you a chance to seal the deal and make a move. I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask Joey, if you don't mind, Joey, you'll come up here and stand. And if you want that resurrection life that Paul talked about in his life, you want that for you and in your life, just come up here. If Joey doesn't mind, we'll shake hands with Joey. And you'll agree for that life in you. I'm going to do that myself, okay? But where two or three are gathered, Lord's in the midst, okay? But if two agree, it'll be done. And I'm going to agree that I want that life, and I want it to the full. Please, just don't trust yourself to do this later at home. Don't trust yourself to do that. Your chances of doing that really go downhill once you walk out of here. Make yourself do it now and discipline yourself. I'm going to, okay? But just shake hands with Joey, and that's an agreement. Amen? I agree. I want that life for me. Amen.
Jerry and Rachel and Harlan, would y'all come up here to receive people? I appreciate that, Barry. I'm not going to receive people personally. I've still got some stuff going on.
Oh, okay, okay.
But that's
fine. I'm sorry.
We've got some leaders up here. You know, very powerful message, Barry, and I can tell you've lived it because you didn't look at your notes a lot, but you were on cue because you've lived it. So I would encourage you to come up and see these leaders. Think of the perspective Barry shared with us. Are you relying on the God of the past or the God of the future? And they're important. They have places in our life, but we're living in the present. So if you want to make that commitment, please just come up and briefly see one of the leaders standing up here. As the team closes in a song, remember after we finish, if you would, pray for us. And then church is not over. There'll be coffee and some things over there in the area. And I would encourage you to speak to somebody you don't know. Just say hi. But I know how the Coastal family is. Y'all won't go home for a while. You're going to love on each other. So thank you. Thank you.